I want to begin with an illustration that may be a little dated for some of our members this morning, but for those of you who are my age, I guess, maybe a little bit younger, you will remember the name of George Shultz. George Shultz was the former Secretary of State under Ronald Reagan, so we're talking a few years here that some of our younger members might not recognize the name of Shultz, at least, but hopefully you recognize the name of one of your former presidents. Anyway, the story that I want to share with you was told by George Shultz to a gentleman by the name of Brian Lamb. I don't know if any of you know him or not. Brian, I believe, still does this, conducts interviews on C-SPAN on a program called Book Notes, I believe is what it's called. He was interviewing George at the time because he had just recently written a book. I'm not familiar with the book, but it was called Triumph and Turmoil. During the interview, Shultz told the following story that I'm about to tell. During his tenure as Secretary of State, Shultz had numerous opportunities to visit with those who served as foreign ambassadors of the United States to other countries. And he had the practice of whenever an ambassador for the first time would come to his office and visit him, Shultz kept a big globe of the world in his office, and it was his practice to ask the ambassador to go over to the globe and find the country they represented. And so before the ambassador could leave the office, they would have this little exercise that they would go through. And Shultz says, without fail, every ambassador I ever visited with went over to that globe, would spin the globe around, find the country where they were serving, and say, that's my country. But one day, a gentleman by the name of Mike Mansfield, who was Democratic senator from Montana, who at the time was serving as U.S. ambassador to Japan, came to visit Shultz. They were good friends. And before he could leave the office, Shultz gave him this exercise to do. And so he walks over to the globe, spins the globe, brings it around, and puts his finger on the United States of America and says, that's the country I represent. Shultz says he was the first ambassador who had ever done that in that little exercise. And as he was relating this story to the one conducting the interview, he says, since that time, I share that story with every ambassador I get a chance to visit with. And I remind them, you're serving in a foreign country, but you represent the United States of America. You represent our interests. I share that story with you because I think it illustrates the point that I'd like for us to explore today. The passage that was read earlier, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. And if you have a Bible this morning, I'd love for you to open to that passage if you'd care to do so, or whatever you use, cell phone, iPad, whatever you use this morning. Flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. And there you see these words. And Paul's going to use this word that I've already used several times this morning, and that is the word ambassador. What is an ambassador? Well, politically, we understand an ambassador is someone who represents their country while living in another country. Maybe those of you who keep up with these things, I believe there's talk now, is there not, about Caroline Kennedy, about becoming an ambassador. Not sure which country. I want to say Japan. I don't know if that's right or not. I see Jack Wilson shaking his head. I take it Jack is an authority on this matter, so I must have got it right. We have many of them. Men, women from our country who live in other countries who are there as our representatives in that land. They represent our interests. They represent the message, the mission that the president gives them, and they are there as our ambassadors, our representatives. This word has much the same meaning in Paul's terminology here. Actually, if I understand it right, the Greek word for ambassador is related to the word for elder in that it refers to someone who's wise or mature, someone who knows what they're doing. We don't want to send someone to a country who doesn't have a clue what they're doing. Well, as ambassadors for Christ, we need to have a little bit of understanding of what we're doing. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20 these words, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Now, this verse does not occur in a vacuum. There is a lot going on before it and immediately after it. And if you look at the greater context in which this verse is found, this is a theologically rich passage of Scripture. We learn in the context where this verse is found, for example, that because of sin, we all stand in need of being reconciled with God. We also learn in the greater context of this passage that reconciliation is a work of God. God is the one who reconciles sinners through Christ, Paul says in this passage. He is the one who seeks and initiates reconciliation. We learn in the greater context of this passage that Jesus knew no sin. He was sinless, Paul says, and yet God made him who knew no sin to become sin so that in him we might be made righteous. And so we learn in this passage that Jesus took upon himself our sins. He paid the price. He paid the penalty for our sins. And the righteousness that we now have is not ours. It's not a righteousness that we've achieved, but it's his righteousness. He has reconciled us. Through faith in him, we've been reconciled to God, and the righteousness that we now have belongs to him. God wants everyone, we learn in this passage also, to be reconciled to him. And so now through the preaching of the gospel, sinners are implored to be reconciled to God. So this is a busy passage. It's a rich passage. There's a lot going on here this morning, that a lot of different ways that we could come at this passage. But the way I want to come at it this morning is to zero in on this idea that Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're in the middle of a series of lessons that I began a few weeks ago before Easter entitled, "Who Are We?" And in this series of messages, we're asking the question, we're looking at answers for who are we in Christ? What does it mean to say that I'm a Christian? What does that entail? What does that involve? What is expected of me as a follower of Christ? And so we're exploring this question. Who are we? We want to know who we are in Christ. If we don't know who we are in Christ, we're likely to fall for the lies of our enemy, who will have us believe any number of mistruths and things that are not in our best interest. So we want to know scripturally, biblically, what does it mean to be a follower of Christ? Who am I as a follower of Christ? What all is involved in that? And this morning, we're looking at just one answer to that question. There are others, and we've given some. We're going to explore more in weeks to come. But the one we want to think about this morning is, we are ambassadors for Jesus. We who have been reconciled to God through our faith in Jesus, having been made one with him, having become now a new creation in him, as we've explored in an earlier passage from this very same chapter, we are now commissioned given the honor, the privilege of representing Jesus in this dark, spiritually dark world in which we live. We are Jesus's representatives, his ambassadors in this community where God has planted us. Let's think a little bit more about that, what that entails, and eventually this morning, what that looks like for many of us. Working out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, when Paul says that we are ambassadors for Christ, anybody who knows much at all about Paul's story knows that for Paul to call himself an ambassador of Jesus is nothing short of a miracle. We, in our gatherings like this, talk a lot about the Apostle Paul. Perhaps there are some here this morning who are not as familiar with this man and his story. You might not even know that Paul was not his real name. We're first introduced to him in Scripture not as the Apostle Paul, but as Saul, whose sole desire in life for a while was to completely wipe out followers of Christ. It is a truth of Scripture that the one we know as the Apostle Paul was first of all a man by the name of Saul who absolutely hated Christians and saw it as his calling to destroy them and to destroy the movement that was beginning to take place called the Way. Several times in the book of Acts, we get little insights into Saul, the persecutor. Acts chapter 8 tells us that a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and many of the disciples had to flee Jerusalem for safety in other places. And one of the main instigators of that persecution was Saul, who was breathing out, Luke says in Acts 8 and Acts chapter 9, murderous threats against the disciples of Jesus. He even went so far as to go to the high priest in Jerusalem for papers so that he could go as far away as Damascus to see if there were any Christians there, and if there were, he was going to bind them and bring them back to Jerusalem so that they might be cast into prison. If you were a Christian living around Jerusalem in the first century at this time, the one person you did not want to meet was Saul. He was a scary dude for Christians. He would throw you into jail and possibly even take your life because of your decision to follow Christ. That's who Saul was. But now Luke tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 9 and other places, that while Saul was on his way to Damascus to try to find Christians, he had an experience that changed his life forever. If you've got your Bibles open and want to flip over there, I'm going to refer to a couple of verses in Acts chapter 22. If you've got your Bible open, you'll be able to look at them with me. In this part of the book of Acts, Paul is actually kind of giving his own testimony here, as recorded by Luke. Saul, I keep mixing his name, he's not yet Paul at this point in the story. Saul was on his way to Damascus to get Christians, arrest them, take them back to Jerusalem when he met Christ. On the road to Damascus, he has an exchange with Christ, and Christ says, "Why are you persecuting me, Saul?" And it finally dawns upon Saul that this man, this individual, Jesus, really is Messiah, really is the Christ, and it just messes his life up completely. Sometimes we think of people coming to Jesus and it clears everything up. And in most ways, it does. But sometimes also coming to Jesus will mess things up in the sense that it will change your life and you'll never be the same again. And that's what happened to Saul. Saul sees Jesus. And that begins a change, a transformation in his life, and he's never going to be the same again. He goes on to Damascus, we're told in Acts chapter 22. He's blind, he can't see. His whole world has been turned upside down. And God speaks to a man there by the name of Ananias and says, Ananias, I want you to go talk to Saul. Ananias, though, says, Lord, I know this guy. He's well known for his hatred for Christians and his desire to persecute us. Are you sure that you want me to go talk to him? And apparently God says, yes, I'm going to use this man to bring many people to faith. And so Ananias goes and talks to Saul. They have a long conversation. In the process, Saul, it begins to dawn upon him what God is doing in his life, how God is going to use him as an ambassador to reach people for Christ. At one point, the story kind of culminates with a statement that many of you will recognize. After Ananias has had this long conversation with Saul, he says to him, Saul, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And so Paul has this conversion experience to Jesus. And now the one who was persecuting Christ has become a preacher for Christ. He tries to go back to Jerusalem, but the saints there are still scared of him. They don't trust his conversion. And so God sends Paul now to the Gentiles. He says, I'll send you far away, and you're going to be my ambassador among the Gentiles. And so Paul spends the rest of his life testifying to Christ, how that he who knew no sin had become sin, so that sinners like us might be reconciled to God and made righteous. And that becomes Paul's mission in life. He goes to the Gentile world and he begins to represent Christ there and be an ambassador for Christ and calls people to faith in Christ. Paul was a wonderful ambassador for Christ. You can read his story in the New Testament. He wrote more letters than anybody else in the New Testament. He traveled all across the Roman world several times preaching about Jesus in tiny villages, even before kings. Paul was a wonderful ambassador for Christ. But now we're not really here this morning to applaud the Apostle Paul. Yes, he was a great ambassador for Christ. But the question really is, what kind of ambassador am I? And what kind of ambassador are you? In a sense, like Paul, anyone who's been reconciled to God has become an ambassador for Christ. All of us who've put our faith in Christ, who've said, I want to belong to you, and have given our lives to him, we too have now become ambassadors for Christ. This is our identity. We are Christ's representatives in this spiritually dark world. If you're a Christian, I want to pound this into your mind this morning. This is not something that you can say, well, okay, I'm a Christian, but I'm not that. No. This is part and parcel of what it means to be a Christian. This is not something you can say, well, okay, I'm a Christian, but that's something that somebody else does. That's something that Charlie does, or that's something that Richard does, or that's something that Wes does, or that's something that other people do, but yes, I'm a Christian, but that's not what I do. That's not who I am. No. If you're a Christian, you have the responsibility and the privilege of representing your Lord. of being, in a sense, an ambassador for Jesus. The only question is, are we going to do it well? Are we going to be faithful in our calling to who we are, or are we going to do it poorly and not live up to our calling as representatives for Christ? So let's think a little bit about this more personally now. What does being an ambassador for Jesus look like in your life and in my life today? It could be that some might be thinking, well, Paul was an ambassador, but do I have to do what he did to be an ambassador? Do I have to go to a faraway place? To be an ambassador, do I have to pick up my family and move to Zimbabwe or Indonesia or some faraway place? Is that what it means to be an ambassador? Maybe. I don't know what God has put on your heart. I will say this. If God ever places on your heart a call to go serve Him in some faraway land, I pray to Him that you'll listen to Him. I don't know if He's placed that on your heart. But whether you're 15 or 50, if God places on your heart a desire to serve Him in some place that's far away and foreign, do it. Be obedient to the Lord. But having said that, I will say this. Most of us will probably never hear that kind of call. I do not believe that every Christian is called to be a foreign ambassador. But every Christian is called to be an ambassador. Not every person is called to go live in Zimbabwe. Not every Christian in America is called to go live in Indonesia. If you are, I hope you will go. But it may be that you're called to live out your faith right here. There's a great story in Mark chapter 5 that I think emphasizes that very point. If you want to flip over there, you can. This is my favorite story in all the Gospels. If you want to know what it means to be an ambassador for Christ, I think this is a great story to look for an answer to that question. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus meets a man whose life is absolutely out of control. He's living with dead people. He's living in a cemetery, among the tombs, among the dead. He is a man who is possessed by hundreds, if not thousands, of demons, and these demons are absolutely tearing this man's life apart. Mark says he runs around the tombs at night screaming, cutting himself with sharp rocks. He's so strong that no one can bind him, no one can help him. His life is out of control. In my mind, I see somewhat of a wild man here, a man with long hair, a man whose clothes are now tattered and torn, who's unkept and unbathed, who probably stinks to high heaven, whose life is an absolute hell on earth. And Jesus, though, finds this man and he puts him in his right mind. He restores this man's sanity. He brings peace out of the chaos that was in this man's life and gives him a new life. And such a change comes over this man that those who knew him before can't believe it's him. And they're so amazed by the change that's come over this man, it's frightening to them, to the point that they're even asking Jesus to leave the region. And as Jesus is about to leave, this man, this guy who's now got a new life, comes to Jesus and says, I want to go with you. Why not? That's the natural thing. Jesus has given this man new hope, a new life. why not, Jesus, let me go with you. As a show of appreciation for what Jesus has done for him, this guy wants to go serve Jesus. But surprisingly, and those of you who know the story know this, Jesus says, no, I don't want you to come follow me. Now, that's amazing, because what you see Jesus doing all throughout the Gospels is saying to people, come follow me. But on this occasion, here's a guy wanting to follow Jesus, and Jesus says, no, I don't want you to go with me. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home. I want you to go home to your people and to your friends, and I want you to tell them what I've done for you, how I've had mercy on you, how I've changed you. Now, you can hunt all you want to in that story, and you won't find the word ambassador, but I'm convinced that's what Jesus is asking this guy to go do. What he's saying to this guy is, I want you to go home. Now, to some people, he might say, I want you to go far, far away. That's what he did to Paul. He sent Paul all over the world, and that may be someone else's calling. But to many people, the call is simply this. You want to follow me? Great. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home to your family, to your friends, and I want you to live out the gospel in that environment. I want you to live out a transformed life in front of the people who knew you and who know you best, so that you can be a testimony to them of my goodness and my mercy and my power. And so you go home and live out your life there. And I think this is hitting most of us. Again, I don't know what the Lord has on your heart. I don't know what you wrestle with. I don't know if you've ever thought about being a missionary, being a preacher, and going somewhere and doing that. Maybe that thought has never crossed your mind. But whether that thought ever crosses your mind or not, here is something that ought to, and that is, even if I stay here, I'm still an ambassador for Jesus. Ambassadors for Jesus aren't just those who go to faraway places. Some of them stay right here at home. And that may be most of us in here this morning. And what God and Christ would want us to do this morning is represent them in this community. Be an ambassador for Jesus where you're planted. And if you're planted here, that's great. Be a representative for Jesus right here. Live out the gospel. Live a transformed life. Whether you've got an incredible testimony like this guy would have, or whether you've never really been a wild person in your life, in whatever way God has changed you, live that out. Live out the gospel. As he works on you and changes you, let people see that, see the difference he's made in your life, whatever that difference is, and whenever you have the opportunity, put in a good word for Jesus. That's what this man did. Mark chapter 5, what did the guy do? He went to the Decapolis where he was from, and what did he begin to do? He began to tell people the difference that Jesus had made in his life. And the result was what? People were amazed. In a few moments, we're going to walk out these doors into enemy territory. And we're going to have an opportunity to be representatives, ambassadors for Christ. Some of us are going to go to a restaurant and eat. And some of us aren't going to get good service. How are you going to respond? I want my food and I want it now. Ooh, that's a good ambassador there. Dressed up, suit, tie, that waiter, he knows you've been to church. Now some of you can slip in and get by at that because you got jeans on. I can't. They know where I've been. This falls on me too. A few weeks ago we were at a local restaurant. I won't tell you the name. I won't do that to them. I'm eating a salad. I'm down to the last two bites. I take that next to last bite of salad and I feel something funny in my mouth. I thought it was core because I'd already had to take several bits of core from the lettuce out earlier. So I reached into my mouth to pull out what I thought was core and I pulled out the top of a pin. About this big. It had fallen into the salad, I guess, when it was being made. I got a little sick feeling in my stomach because I didn't know where that had been. It could have been on the kitchen floor. It could have been in the bathroom. I didn't know where that pin had been. Manager came out. No, I'm fine. We'll give you your salad. Well, gee, thanks. Kind of expected the whole meal to be free. If I could rewind and go back, I wish I'd have said something. You know, I do feel kind of bad, but look, my Lord says that I'm to forgive, and it's not a big deal. Just something, anything that might could have pointed that in the direction of Christ. So this falls on me too. Stuff happens to me, and I don't always act like the ambassador that I should be. And I bet you don't always get it right either. For that, I'm grateful for grace. That when I fail to put in a good word, when my behavior doesn't live up to the calling that it should, my Lord doesn't strike me dead. And I'm grateful for that. But I'm also humbled and challenged to do better. If I don't represent him well, who will? If those of us who wear his name are no different in the restaurants and the shopping marts and the playgrounds and the ball fields and wherever else we go and whatever else we do, if we're no different from the world, what are we doing? Now, I don't say that to make us go out and deliberately act weird, but if Christ is alive in my heart, will that not somehow be seen? Will that not somehow come out in my conversations and in my behavior? If Jesus is Lord, will that not affect some kind of change in my life? That's all I'm saying. If I belong to Jesus, somehow that will be visible in this world. That's who we are. We are disciples of Christ. He is our Lord. He is our King. We're following him. We're representing him in this world. Yes, we don't always get that right. That's why we confess to one another and we make amends. And we say, help me, brother. Help me do better. Help me live better for our King. We don't come here and shoot each other. We help each other. And we raise each other up. And we help us get back out there and live for the King. What kind of ambassador will you be for Christ this week? In a moment, we're going to release several hundred from this place alone. You'd think, combined with all the others that are assembled throughout this city as well this morning, that combined, we'd have a pretty big impact on this community for Christ and for good. I don't know what anybody else is going to do, but I want to do my best with his help, to be a good ambassador this week. I pray you will too. Maybe some shifts need to be made, some reprioritizing in your life needs to be made. Maybe you've not been a very good ambassador recently. Okay, that happens. Let's acknowledge it. Let's confess it. Let's repent of it. Let's use our family here. Let's get back out into the game and be the representatives, the ambassadors that we've been called to be. Our shepherds will be at the exits today. If you need prayer, if you need to confess, if you need to ask for help, if you're struggling with something, if you're not being a very good ambassador, but you want to change, let's help each other this morning before we leave. Maybe you're ready to become a follower of Christ, as has happened a couple of times in the last month or so. Maybe you want to become a follower of Jesus. We would love to take your confession this morning. We'd love to witness your immersion into Christ and the new life begin. Let's go out and be good ambassadors for Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and give you peace. Amen.